Don Lebatard.
You were pretty insistent that Doug Brown's nickname is the Duke. I thought that that was somebody else's nickname who has passed away, a South Florida update guy. Is your nickname indeed the Duke?
It is not, and I'm shocked that you guys have forgotten the great Dan Davis. His nickname was the Duke.
Oh.
He passed away.
No, he did not.
Oh, wow, that's $50? Fine.
That's
$50. That is a maximum penalty.
That is $50.
You killed the Duke.
You killed him. Oh, my God.
All right, now play the Happy Kazoo music.
Stugatz.
I did not mean to kill Dan the Duke David.
Maybe you should apologize to him.
I can't apologize
enough.
Get
him on.
Is he still alive? No, I get hit again.
Do you have a number for the Duke?
Why don't you walk into that one again?
Oh, my God, $100.
$100 fine.
Oh, my God.
$100.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
Daniel Cormier going to join us in a half hour, 11:30 a.m. Eastern on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Live for a chance to win 10 grand plus a virtual meet and greet with the Dan Lebatard Show gang. Text Lebatard to 77333. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Limit one entry per day. See AdvanceAutoParts.com for all the details.
So sports are moving so fast that I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding when I say what I'm about to say.
Okay.
Christine Lisi just finished her update. Christine, before we get to your kazoos, would you be kind enough just to read the last sentence of your update again?
Coverage 7:30 Eastern, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
I'm sorry. The sentence is before that, right before that.
You kind of walked into that.
Yeah, that one's my fault. Yeah. Well, because the way that she said this at the beginning made me think that the Dodgers had won the championship last night, and I just missed it.
No. I said Dodgers captured their first World Series championship in 32 years with a win against the Rays in Game 6 of the Fall Classic tonight.
You did it correct, but when I'm saying sports are moving so fast that
I just
heard the first part of what you said, and I'm like, wait a minute, did the Dodgers win last night at the World Series? Over. That's what happened to me.
But that's a Christine Lisi staple. She'll do that on the back end with a win tonight.
Builds it up. Yes. It's part of how we get to the end, finally, that comes accompanied by our beloved kazoos.
And finally, Elton John has teamed up with Mattel to launch his own Barbie doll.
All right.
All right.
I'll put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Would you buy your kids the Elton John Barbie doll?
Kinder Christine today.
Yes, not quite as cruel. She's lately, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I don't know. She's
Bills won on Sunday. I'm good.
You beat the Jets.
Right. with six field goals?
With six field goals, yes. We will get to Daniel Cormier at 11:30, but I wanted to read to the audience. This guy's been listening to our show for a long time, South Florida guy, Adam Smoot, and this is what he writes. Lebatard Show has been railing against it for a long time, but given the current circumstances, his take on meaningless small talk is even more important. Pleasantries are literally going to kill us. The reason COVID will never go away here is Americans' insistence on never shutting the bleep up. On my walk today, multiple walkers, joggers, cyclists felt the need to fling their spit in the air just to scream good morning to people they've never met and will never talk to again. Now, Smoot is dark under all circumstances, and this is a dark time. But Mike Ryan, it's been such a dark time, I'm not kidding you. Mike Ryan is arguing that he has gotten positivity and inspiration out of that Ted Lasso show that is just simply sort of upbeat. How about you just be nice and decent to people?
And I'm happy about that. But for a second, can we go back to Smoot? Is Smoot suggesting that we stop greeting each other altogether?
Yes, and that COVID will never die because we're being too nice to each other, which I don't think is the predicament of 2020.
Also, a weird thank you, Dan pivot as well and mixed in there. No pleasantries. Thank you, Dan. I have recently, I couldn't really put my finger on it, and I figured it out in talking it out to you guys about Ted Lasso. My wife had to go back to work, so, I mean, it's hard. With a one-year-old, it's very difficult balancing all these things, and you need to be more patient, and I've just made a turn about a week and a half ago, and just applying, and generally, this says a lot about me, I should have been like this all the time, looking at each situation on its surface, and see how could I help? Because my negativity and my frustration, that doesn't do anything to actually help the matter. And we've done a pretty good job over the last few days of digging each other out of certain spots where we're being negative instead of positive. And I think it's his Ted Lasso show. I swear to God.
So Ted Lasso is 2020 Jesus Christ for you. He's the start of a religion and a start of a lifetime change of perspective.
It's weird because I am committed to this positivity thing, and I hope it lasts with me, but it seemingly came out of nowhere. And talking it out with you, I think it's just because of this central character on this show that tries to be super positive at every turn. And I saw how much joy my wife and I, we've been watching Ted Lasso in bed on the TV, because that's where we have the Apple TV. And we looked at each other after finishing the show 2 days ago. We looked at each other last night and I'm like, we really need something positive to watch. There is a Ted Lasso-sized hole in my heart right now, and I need to fill it up with some more positivity, so I'm manufacturing it myself.
Mike is entirely right. I love Ted Lasso. He's a modern-day Mr. Rogers-type personality, and it's wonderful because, you know, cynicism comes so easily for me and others, and positivity sometimes takes a little bit of an effort, and Ted Lasso is a positivity coach.
I think it's
just a godsend, that show.
I think one of the things that's funny here is...
old people on Zoom. Mute your mics, everybody.
I was muted. No, I wasn't muted.
No, you're on mute. Right.
I think that one
of... my positivity just ended.
Well, yeah, it did just end. And I thought one of the funny
things... Sorry, man.
Things
hang in there, buddy.
Ted Lasso.
...that happened there is that you were being positive about how you're going to change your life perspective. And during the break, Stu Gatz immediately said negatively, it'll last 12 hours.
It lasted 12 minutes.
Hey, I've earned that. I've earned that.
Greg, are you ready to do your Back in My Day? Are you ready? Are you feeling strong?
I like it personally. It's a little bit longer than usual. So hopefully others like it as much as I do. I don't know.
Are you going to make it through it? I mean, what do you feel? I mean, you're going to make it through?
You know, it's broadly I've done the subject before, but in a specific way. So this is a lot different. So, you know, I don't know. I'm always a little nerve wracked when it comes to a Back in My Day.
All right.
Because they tend to be one extreme or the other. Right. They tend to be really liked or vilified. So.
All right. Well, let's break here. So we have plenty of room for it. We're going to do it in the next segment. We're going to do a Back in My Day and maybe talk about whether there's another defensive coordinator in the league that we would have enjoyed getting Tabasco in his eye interrupting a Zoom call more than the Cowboys defensive coordinator. Because I don't think this becomes a news to laugh at across the NFL if it's any other defensive coordinator other than the Cowboys defensive coordinator.
Thank God this is over.
How did he get the Tabasco in? Was he just having lunch during the Zoom call? You say
Tabasco.
Old people would. That hasn't happened to me yet. I haven't gotten Tabasco or food
never
in my
squirted
eye.
Upset the eye. City. No?
Upset City. Mike Nolan doesn't exactly fit the coach that I would think would do this. I'd go Matt Patricia personally.
I'd go McCarthy.
But
I'd go head coach, big boss.
He apparently had Tabasco on his fingers. He rubbed his eye, and that was all she wrote.
I mean, it's going to be Patricia, McCarthy, or Andy Reid, right? Those are your three go-tos on the Tabasco in the eye?
I think so, yeah.
Also, the Ryans.
It's Wade a body Phillips. Type. Yeah. It's a body type we're holding against these coaches.
It's the pear shape. It's the shape of the pear. Charlie Weiss, who looks like his bottom half is sewed backwards under the body.
Yeah, but Mike Nolan to me just like gives off, I don't like spicy food.
For some reason, I could see Pete Carroll doing that.
Yeah.
Good.
You know what? I'm right about, I agree with Mike on this. I see Mike Nolan being disciplined about plain food. Like, he's going to give you a bland vanilla defense, and he's also going to give you bland food. I am surprised that there's any spice in Mike Nolan's life.
Yeah, like a dash of salt and pepper at most for Mike Nolan.
Greg Cody's Back in My Day is coming up next.
Don Levitard.
Why are you so bad at this?
Stu Gatz.
I can't answer that question. It's a good one, though. I've been thinking about it a lot.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stu Gatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It's brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I skipped the conversational part of that billboard, just so you know. All kinds of podcasts flying out everywhere. I've got two this week I'm very excited about.
Tell the people.
I have Michael Doc Emrick, the great Doc Emrick, the voice of hockey. He is retired. He's written a book. All the proceeds go to a great charity. He joined us. He was fantastic. It's the second time in all the years you and I have been doing this where I got goosebumps when someone's voice was piped into my headsets. It was Vin Scully the first time, and then Michael Doc Emrick. I love calling him Michael Doc Emrick.
It's an endangered species a little bit, the old-timey broadcaster whose voice resonates because it's existed inside your head across decades.
It really is. It was such a cool feeling. He's such a great storyteller, very interesting guy. We had him on, and I'm taping with Stone Gossard. Used to play with Pearl Jam. I'm doing that tomorrow, and we'll release that later this week. So a big week.
You love Pearl Jam.
I only like two bands. I love the Grateful Dead, and I like Pearl Jam. I don't like Pearl Jam the way I like the Dead. I follow the Dead for a couple of years, but I do love Pearl Jam.
Since this is all very conversational, I'd like to bring a production idea up to you guys very casually. For 2021, part of my digital media strategy is to have a Freaky Friday week, where you, Dan, take over Stupidity for a week, and Sugatz has to play investigative journalist, long-form interview guy on South Beach Sessions. Remains in the same channel feed, but you, I guess, do weekend obs with Mike EC, Dan, and you talk to someone you have zero interest in talking to, Sugatz.
Listen, I have set this up perfectly for you, okay? When you do it, you'll have to do nothing. I mean, you'll love it. It's a great experience.
Just sit
you'll,
there.
You'll say like seven words.
Have everyone do the work.
Just transition.
Hadn't noticed.
So Greg Cody's Back in My Day is in just a second, but these are proudly, weirdly, proudly ignorant Tuesdays around here. If you've been listening to Stugatz and Greg Cody on the subject of data, analytics, measurements, they both think there are too many stats in the game. But I will say something to you right now, Stugatz, that I believe will excite you.
Okay.
Pro Football Focus does a better job, really, of separating. It's very difficult in that sport. We're getting more and more involved, smarter as fans and journalists, and football is the last frontier, sort of separating everybody so that you can individually measure a quarterback and understand all of the pieces around him have to do. Like, Tom Brady wouldn't be doing this in New England. There are very few people would be. Like, New England's falling apart in a way that's obvious. They don't have enough skill position guys.
Tom Brady tried it last year in New England. It didn't work out well.
Loses in the first round to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And so what I wanted to say to you, though, as it relates to Pro Football Focus, is they have something that I believe that you and Greg Cody will like. For all the ways they do the measurements, all the ingredients that they throw into the quarterback measurements, mm-hmm. one of the ingredients is simply the advanced metric of big time throws.
Yes.
Big time throws.
Oh, I love this.
Yes.
Big time throws.
I love a big time throw.
And so the leader in the sport, according to Pro Football Focus.
The leader in big time throws?
The leader in big time. You
know
what?
I know who it is.
You know what? Wait a minute. You think you know who it is? Go ahead.
We should all try to take a guess.
All right, go ahead. All of you take a guess.
Russell Wilson is the obvious choice, I think, here.
I'm going to go. I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers, pretty big time throw.
All right.
Wait. Aaron Rodgers.
What is a big time throw?
It's a big time throw. It's a big time throw. You know when you see it, it's like.
Exactly. You know
it's like pornography.
Is there an equation here?
Is this like Dilfer's Dimes?
The equation is you know it when you see it. That's the
love
equation.
Dilfer's Dimes.
This is the way the measurement is taken. Just like you, the real measurement isn't interceptions. It's how many interceptable balls did you end up throwing.
Right.
This
I get
is the
that.
Opposite of that.
Wait, what?
This is like a big-time throw, Mike.
Oh, wait, no. Wow. The opposite is like uninterceptable passes, I thought.
Because it's
can
a big-time throw.
Can you just tell me already?
Right.
Tell me already.
I'm going to do it in reverse. We're going to give you the top five big-time throws in the league. Number five, we have a tie at number five.
A tie.
Between Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen.
Wow.
17 big time throws for the both of them.
Time out. So this is the most big time throws, or are you isolating individual big time throws?
This is right here,
fifth
on the list of big time throws. This is fifth.
I'm struggling. Is this the number? Is Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen, are they tied for the amount of big time throws?
Made, both of them have made 17 big time throws.
Are we identifying
this season?
The biggest of times?
The third, because they were tied for fifth. third big time throws is with 20, Deshaun Watson.
Wow.
One win quarterback. It's weird.
Trying to get a big time win.
I'm struggling here.
Second on big time throws is Russell Wilson.
That's my pick. Who could possibly be first?
Tom Brady!
Wow!
Yes!
He was trailing by like 24 points against the Chargers. So was every throw. Is this an accumulative thing?
He's got 24 big time throws, and Russell Wilson only has 23 big time throws.
Oh, wow.
Patrick Mahomes, not on the list.
I love it, man. Love it, man.
Greg,
what do you think he means by it?
Greg, I am sorry. We do not have time right now for back in my day, but you understand, right? We were talking about big time throws. You understand.
I love big time throws. If they come in the last 2 minutes or overtime, they're known as extra big time throws.
Oh, I love that.
Whoa. All right. A new metric.
Daniel Cormier joins us next.
Don Levitard.
I mean, they used to call me Chris Karaoke.
Stugatz.
That back row is bringing it today.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
Daniel Cormier expected to join us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Today on ESPN Daily, it's finally Tua time in Miami as Tua will start at quarterback versus the LA Rams this weekend. Hear whether he's ready for the prime time and what's at stake. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
We will get to Daniel Cormier in a moment, but before we do that, let's check in with Christine Lisi.
And finally, KFC is officially selling its fried chicken-scented fire logs at Walmart. Now back to somebody who needs no additional help making his home smell like fried chicken.
She's gone back to being cool.
Yep.
For a second there, I thought she was watching Ted Lasso. Yeah,
she realized the Bills only beat the Jets. I mean,
six field goals.
So Daniel Cormier is with us now. Check out the DC and Helwani podcast. New episodes are every Monday. Yesterday on the episode, he told you that Khabib had told him that he went gentle on Gaethje because he was fighting in front of his family, didn't want to break his arm, instead went triangle when he could have gone armbar.
I got to be honest, one of the nicest things I've ever heard. I mean, it's so courteous.
DC is with us now on ESPN Radio. Have you ever heard of such a thing before? Is that something in the fight game that you'd ever heard before in the adrenaline of the action?
No. I've heard guys say it before, right? Like, I heard, you know, in the beginning of my career, when they were telling me, you know, with the joint manipulation, if they don't tap, you got to break it. I was like, well, don't teach me submissions where I might have to break somebody's arm. I had no interest in learning them. But to be in the fight and to have known and called back to earlier in the week watching an interview and going, I don't want to break this guy's arm, different level, man. You could see it from the whole performance, though, just a different level of an athlete that Khabib showed that he is on Saturday.
Who's the second best wrestler in the history of the sport? Is he consensus number one?
Well, I mean, in terms of effective MMA wrestling, I don't think anybody's ever matched him. But I think it's the wrestling, but it's also the grappling. He's got such phenomenal grappling. It's the ground control, right? He was always a great ground fighter, but he has mastered this style of fighting, and now he's beating and finishing everyone, right? So he finished Conor in the fourth round, Dustin Poirier in the third round, this fight with Justin Gaethje in the second round. If he'd have stuck around, I guess the next fight would have been a first-round submission. He's been crushing dudes.
Do you believe we've seen the last of him?
I do, right? Because it's a different world, you know, in Dagestan. They live different. Khabib is now tasked with being the head of household for his family. You know, for his well off as this guy is in terms of an athlete, he lives with his parents because that's what their culture says he's supposed to do as the youngest son in the family. So now he's the head of household since his dad is gone, and that's his job and responsibility now. And if he said he gave his mother his word, I absolutely believe him.
All right, so let me ask you this question, because there's always skepticism around any fighter retiring early because so many end up coming back? Has there ever been a fighter you believe on an early retirement more than him?
George St. Pierre, probably. But then he came back and beat Michael Bisping for the middleweight championship. So I think that was about the same, on the same lines. When George had that fight with Johnny Hendricks, which was a split decision, super tough fight, a lot of people thought he lost, he stepped away. I was like, okay, this dude's done and he's young. He was like 34 years old at the time. He ended up coming back. But that's the only time I would ever have believed someone as much as I believe I do today. And that those are the two greatest fighters in the history of the UFC.
Is there a fight that brings you out of retirement?
Me? No, I'm good. Hey, Dan, I'm out here golfing. I'm traveling the world calling fights. I'm just living my
eating delicious food without having to worry about anything?
Eating delicious food, not having to diet. Well, first off, I can't eat myself out of a job. You can actually get too big to be on television, so I got to be careful.
No, you can't.
So I eat, but I got to be careful.
What's Fight Island like? Can you tell me, can you give us some of the details? That are you bored? Is it exciting? What details can you give us from Fight Island?
Okay, so Fight Island over-delivered, right? The first time you went to Fight Island, though, was better than the second time, because the second time it was 5 weeks. So everyone that have memberships to certain, you know, amenities, they decided they didn't want to give those things up for 5 weeks. So in the bubble, they closed the barriers to not include the golf course anymore, because everyone at the course was like, we can't give up our club for 5 weeks to these people to play for free. So that didn't happen. Before, you could get in Formula One cars and go around the race car, the racetrack so fast. They didn't have that this time. So in those aspects, it was a little bit worse on my go-around. But in terms of the way people treated us over there, the beauty of the things that we could do, the beaches, the pools, the service, it was out of this world, man. Like, they wrote letters on my mirror every morning. And then they heard Ariel and I show, and Ariel claimed that he called the W Hotel and said, you guys aren't treating D.C. fair. So they wrote a letter to Ariel on my mirror that I sent to him in a text message telling him, stop trying to steal thunder for all the things that they've done. It's insane how much they pay attention
to the details. Check out the DC and Helwani podcast. New episodes are every Monday. Habib has said he would come out for a 30th fight against St. Pierre. Does that ever happen, and do you want to see it?
You know, initially he said he was going to do it. And honestly, guys, if he didn't say, I fought with my mom for 3 days to get this fight, I would say, you know what, he might come back and get to 30-0. But his mom told him she does not want him doing this thing that him and his dad had wanted so bad together without his father on this earth. And when he said that, I was like, oh, this is absolutely certain. Because of my history in wrestling, I've seen so many Russian Olympic champions at the top of the game just walk away. When they could go another cycle and maybe win another gold medal, they just walk away. And I think that that's what we're seeing with Habib. I think it's over. And we had a great conversation Sunday, and we talked about what we're going to bring to AKA as coaches now to try to make sure that our gym continues to be what it's been for the last decade. And he sounded like a man that's relieved to be done competing and getting ready for the second part of his life.
What do you make of Reese Waters throwing out there, and it was an interesting point, I thought, and it was in reference to Conor McGregor. He was saying, can you imagine how big Habib would be if he were arrogant and racist?
You know what's kind of crazy? It was like, I was watching some of the shows, right? So because I'm Habib's friend, I want to see all the coverage, right? I'm talking to you guys about it today. But I watch a lot of sports shows, and it wasn't, I know the NFL and everything's massive, right? But a lot of people kind of didn't pay attention to it. And it was very surprising to me that it wasn't more on the radar, because if it was Conor leads all the biggest sports shows in the world, right? And I don't know what it is. I just feel like Conor plays a bit of a role, and Conor will be the bad guy, and people are kind of attracted to that.
Well, but it's not quality of fighter, because Habib's a better fighter. Like, that, it's not about your skills. It's about who's more famous.
Absolutely. And nobody's more famous than Conor. Like, that's the truth. And you know what? More power to Conor, but it's like people fall in love with the storyline, right? That's why everybody paid attention to Is it going to be Belichick or Brady, right? The Buccaneers and the Patriots. Who's going to do better because of the storyline? Who is all the success attributed to? It's like we fall in love with the story, and sometimes we lose sight of what's really important, you know, what's ultimately the most important factor.
From your perspective, because Habib seems to be uncommonly disciplined, culturally disciplined, I took what happened in the McGregor fight, or more appropriately, after the McGregor fight, to not be out of character, to be in character as somebody who was deeply offended by everything McGregor's people were doing before that fight. And that was just an assassin fighting proudly with rage about something, and not who the dude is. He was just that insulted by everything McGregor represented.
I think you are absolutely spot on, right? You are absolutely spot on. When people would say to me afterwards, well, Habib acted so different, and he jumped over the octagon, I was like, you know, was it unexpected? I said, honestly, after kind of processing everything, it's exactly what I expected. Because he's not only fighting for the honor of his father, who's gone today, he's fighting for his religion, he's fighting for his people, he's fighting for all the things that matter to him. And it's exactly what you would expect a proud guy to do when all those things that mean so much to him is just so verbally insulted. That's why when you saw at the end of the third round, Conor said, it's only business. Habib said, what? You tired? You want to talk? You want to talk? Now let's talk. He's like, let's talk, right? Like, it's not business to him. It was absolutely personal. And in hindsight, now with his father being fast forward a year, his dad's gone. I mean, there was some bad, bad things said in the build-up to that fight.
Daniel Cormier.
You're exactly right. I couldn't agree more.
Daniel Cormier with us here on ESPN Radio. Would you be okay with an opponent showing you any sort of mercy?
No. Finish me off, man. Finish me off.
Right.
Let me speak to it later. And Justin Gaethje doesn't want. Justin Gaethje won't enjoy these stories. Honestly. He won't. But you know what? Justin tried to tap. He actually tried to tap. The referee didn't get it. If you guys watched the fight, you saw he tapped three times. The ref didn't save him. The ref missed it, and he ended up going to sleep, which for me, honestly, most times you get upset about a referee missing something, let Justin Gaethje go out on the shield. You know, he's the type of guy that wants that. So, I mean, it sucks that he missed the tap, but, you know, Justin did tap. He was in that triangle deep and tried to tap, but the ref missed it.
Check out the DC and Helwani podcast. New episodes every Monday. Habib passed. McGregor for you, right? I'm sorry, Habib passed St. Pierre for you.
I do believe that. Yeah, man, because, hey, think about these stats before Dan. Never been dropped, never been cut. There was never a time in all of his UFC fights where anyone thought he was going to lose. He's won every single time he stepped into the octagon, every single time he stepped into a cage or a ring. He's lost 2 rounds out of 38. In one of those rounds, guys, that he has lost, was the first round of last weekend's fight. Two judges somehow scored that round for Justin Gaethje. It's insane. It's insane. I told him that on Sunday. I said, well, I'm glad you got the submission. He goes, why, brother, why? I go, because at that point, you were losing somehow. He was like, oh, my God, this is crazy. I was like, yeah, you were losing somehow when he dominated the whole fight. So 2 out of the 38 rounds he fought in the UFC is what he lost.
That's crazy.
It's unmatched. It's unmatched.
Daniel, always good talking to you. Thank you for making the time, sir.
All right, boys. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, man.
Dan Lebatard.
The praise is pouring in via Twitter, at Lebatard Show. Your interviews would be better if you knew how to ask a question. Hashtag sad maker.
Stugatz.
That's right. I'm a maker of sad.
I like that.
Hashtag sad maker.
You make sadness.
I make people sad and then become happy about their sadness. I am hashtag sad maker.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Catch every single pitch of the World Series right here on ESPN Radio. Coverage of Game 6. You didn't miss it, Dan. Okay? It's tonight. Between the Dodgers and the Rays, starts at 7:30 Eastern.
Time now for Greg Cody's Back in My Day.
And now, it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guide, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
Potato chips!
Jesus.
An ode to the potato chip, but an honest one, as I have come to both sing the praise of the royal snack, but also to chant its deterioration. Reel back almost 10,000 years ago to the Andes region of South America, what is now the area of southern Peru and extreme northwestern Bolivia. Here was the birthplace of the glorious earth-sprung root vegetable Solanum tuberosum, the beloved spud. Nellie Doogie, my nana, used to pronounce potato with a B and a D, but Ada, we never did know why. Over time, the potato in its baked, mashed, or french fried form has come to bogart the respect. Fast foodies craving the portability of the fry while gourmands champion the potato done upscale. But who'll cry out for the chip? The best and most creative use of the spud farmer's time by far is when he nurtures what becomes the distinctive thin salted chip, unrivaled in the snack kingdom. Now, is the chip perfect? What on earth is but the Mona Lisa's smile? I've done it back in my day before, railing against the excessive variety that has sullied the chip's stature. The classic potato chip should suffice, although a select few offshoots such as barbecue and sour cream and onion surely can be tolerated. You'll lose the real chip master at bastard varieties, many of them foisted upon society by Lay's, of all people. Lay's has a new flavor, I swear. English roast beef and Yorkshire pudding.
No.
Here's an idea.
No.
How about you give me a potato chip flavored like potato? Potato. Ah. But there is a new threat to the chip that I believe I am reporting here for the first time in maybe my biggest scoop since Levitard's engagement. The potato chip is shrinking. Discerning fellow longtime chipaholics know exactly what I mean. Where are you at, Idaho? Make it right. You open most any bag now, and you see a sad, defeated army of undersized chips, the majority no bigger than silver dollars. And those are the ones intact, not crushed, because how is it that we package heavy, unbreakable batteries in impenetrable hard plastic while the ever-so-delicate chip must brave the journey from processing plant to store to your mouth, delicately packaged in a paper-thin, crushable bag? Doesn't make sense. Why do you think I love Charles chips, protected lovingly, respected in the army armor of large tins? Now, I notice some lamenting how the potato chip has gotten smaller over time may seem trivial, and never more so than in hellish 2020. Yes. But imagine and appreciate the potato chip of yore, of my ute. You'd generally tear apart the top of the sack like you did on Christmas morning when you unwrapped a gift and imagined a Tonka tank inside. That immediate perfume of potato, oil, and salt. Oh, and the visual. Look at that mass of giant chips, some broader in circumference than a playing card or a pack of Camels. Some, I swear, almost as big around as a balled fist. And intermingled, the ace of chips, the ones folded over for double the crunch. Greg Cody, back in the Stratomatic days of 1440, would make a contest of a brand new bag of chips. He would gently pick through the sack and carefully extract the very biggest chips he could find. The challenge? Could he fit the entire chip into his mouth intact and close his lips before the delicate wonder inside would crunch? The jaw would move side to side and exercise to prepare. The corners of the mouth would spread wide and the mandible nearly unhinged in an unnatural gape as the sliver of enormous salty spud entered the maw with almost surgical precision. Crunch. Victory! I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
Nailed it!
You simply wanted to talk about Charles's chips that are delivered to your house in like a bucket of trough. You just wanted, that's all you were trying to do there.
They're protected chips, right, Greg? I mean, tell them.
Speak, it's the radio.
Yes,
this
Charles chips.
The Avatar Show on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.